What a blessing it is to serve the Lord. Paul was saying last Sunday we had, I don't know what, 17 people that shared and all that. And today, how many? Few, Jessica. Anyway, that's part of what it is to be built in the body of Christ. We never really know what God's going to do. All we're doing as elders is overseeing that and saying that, you know, we need to be discerning and understand what God's doing in our heart, prophetically, music, and testimony, and all those kinds of things. That's wonderful to know. Today I'd like to go to the Old Testament. Peter Scott's going to the Old Testament. Take note. and we're going to go to Joshua chapter 5 before I get there. You know, I was going to say this, that a lot of what we do share in prophecy and in prayer is self-centered. I don't mean that necessarily in a bad way, meaning that you start with yourself and what you're going through, the circumstances you find yourself in, and the prayers you would like to have answered. Anybody on that ship? Yeah, I think most of us are. But God is like trying to wake us up to something else, to a spiritual warfare, still praying for one another. But it's going to be spiritual warfare. And every time I used to think about spiritual warfare, it would be like, well, you're going to have a special shawl, or, you know, maybe some vestments of some type, or maybe God wants us to bring us into a special whatever, a specialness about it, and we'll be then equipped to do spiritual warfare somehow. But, you know, the very process of spiritual warfare is only this, that we know that there is an enemy, that is Satan and all the demons in hell, who are out against the church, but they will not prevail against the church. And what Jesus is preparing the bride to do, the church, is to rise up and recognize, first of all, that this is spiritual warfare. It is not natural only. Now, Dale used to say this. He used to say, first the natural, then the spiritual. So he'd say, you know, the nation of Israel was formed in 1947, and then the spiritual revival began. And I thought, well, actually, spiritual warfare is both combined together. We find ourselves sick. You aren't just sick in your body, but you're sick in your mind and your soul as well. And your spirit is affected by that. You just, you know, you can't really, I know we teach body, soul, and spirit. I'm a firm believer. All those three things exist. But they don't really exist separately. They exist together. When Jesus prays for us, he doesn't just say, I'm going to pray for your soul today, or I'm going to pray for your body today, or I'm going to pray for your spirit today. But he prays for you. And he goes out and rescues the lamb, the whole lamb, not the body, the soul, the spirit only, but the whole being of that person that needs to be rescued. Is that right? I think we instinctively know that that's correct. But we need to be reminded that all of our analytical skills are really not worth much. Can I say that again? All of our analytical skills are not really worth that much in the eyes of the Lord Jesus. He looks at you and doesn't necessarily have to even analyze you. He already knows you need help. I need help every day. So I wake up in the morning and say, Lord, by your grace, your tender mercy and loving kindness, let this day be your day and blessing upon my life and my family. Notice I start self, selfish as I am. And then I expand to other things that I know the people in this body need. Healing, like Linda Hines, for example. Like Peter's son, others that we know need our prayer for their physical bodies. It's a good thing. I think maybe that's one of the reasons we have afflictions. Dare I say. But spiritual warfare is very simple. It is merely this. You talking to God and understanding his will, his purposes in your life, in your circumstances, and praying with him according to those things. Thy will be done on this earth just like it is in heaven. That's the premise for spiritual warfare. But it starts with knowing Jesus. Is that right? You can do it if you want to and just pray without knowing Jesus. You can sing without knowing Jesus. You can join a spiritual warfare clinic and not know Jesus. It's not going to work out too well for you, but you need to know the Lord. And this is interesting. This is a scripture in Joshua 5, starting at 13, where Joshua really meets the Lord Jesus for the first time. Now, remember, Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land before anybody knew it was a promised land, right? They were going and see what's going on, and they saw giants. And there was a lot of other scouts that went out, too. They reported back to the elders and said, oh, this is not good. There are giants in the land. We'll never be able to succeed. The spiritual warfare, they knew was happening, but it wasn't going to happen because they were afraid. So we need to give up our fears. It's more than that, but we need to start there. And Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report, just saying, yeah, there's giants in the land. Well, we can take them. If we know what God can do. Is that right? And so the testimonies in your life in particular, I think everyone in this room can say, yeah, I remember a time when Jesus saved me and I didn't think it was possible. Whether it be a physical illness or your spiritual condition, Jesus saved you. Well, Joshua meets the commander of the army of the Lord here, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, so he's involved in the fight, taking back the land. And he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? That sounds like a logical question, doesn't it? How can you be wrong asking that question? And when we face the circumstances that we face in life, whether it be our body, soul, or spirit, it's just circumstances we find ourselves in, we ask the Lord the same thing. This person stands, another circumstance happens, we say, well, are you for us or against us? Is this good or bad? Well, this time, he met somebody he didn't expect to find. For he said, no, that man with a sword drawn, it wasn't a man, but it was the Lord, said, no, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Now, you know who that is, the commander of the army of the Lord. If he were to introduce himself to you, what would you do? You wouldn't continue with your question, well, am I doing what right or wrong? Are you for me or against me? And a lot of people come into their prayer closet with that question. And they say, well, the Lord is obviously not for me because the circumstances are going crazy. Maybe you want to be self-righteous this morning, but I know brothers and sisters have come to that place. And it's almost blasphemous to say such a thing. But here's what the Lord says. Well, first, he says, I've come as the commander of the army of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. So what is your first reaction supposed to be when you meet the Lord face to face? Fall down, believe me. No one stands before the presence of God. And he worshiped. So that was the first response. First response is not, oh, you got to save me from this circumstance. Joshua was surrounded by armies, people that wanted to kill him. Just like Israel is today. Well, the first thing he did was worship the Lord. So if you don't find yourself doing that, practice it, because that's a part of your spiritual warfare. Practice it because it's a part of your spiritual warfare. The songs that we sing are not just for Sunday or for Friday or Wednesday, but they're for you in your time of trial. Worship the Lord. If you don't know how to do anything else, learn to worship the Lord. And the Lord said to him, Joshua said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? He didn't even say, what are you going to do about all of these problems? He said, what is the word of the Lord? What are the words coming from your mouth this morning? What are the words of your mouth saying to the Senate and to the House of Representatives? What are the words of your mouth? Wouldn't it be nice if they knew how to worship the Lord and ask the Lord, what do you want to do? Because he, commander, doesn't ask the troops what's going on. He doesn't ask the troops what to do next. He already knows. And this is what the Lord says to us. First of all, take your sandals off your foot or shoes, whatever you're wearing, for the place where you're where you stand is holy. And Joshua did that. So you have to recognize this. Where the Lord is and where his bride is a holy place. And when he's talking to you, it is holy. The enemy has no place there. Do you see the enemy showing up here at all in this conversation between the Lord and Joshua? No, he's not there. So Joshua could take his sword and just throw it to the ground. Probably did. It's not worth anything in the presence of God. So many, many times our prayers, even here on Friday night, come from a place, well, is God for us or against us? Is God going to do this or not going to do this? I need discernment. People have come forward with prayer and say, I need the discernment of the Lord to know what to do. Well, you need to worship the Lord, take off the sandals from your feet, recognize the holiness of the Lord. And a lot of what I share today is about the holiness of God again. And again, until we really see how important holiness is. Because if we don't have holiness, we're going to be in a bad place. Holiness means that we're separate from the things of this world. More than that, we're in the presence of God. Wow. Dare the enemy come close to us at that place? I doubt it. But the enemy is full of tricks, schemes, and his weapons are not useless. Did you hear me with that? His weapons aren't useless. They work a lot of times. They bring down and bring low the people of God. They go through circumstances where they cry unto the Lord and say, this cannot be God. I don't know why the Lord broke his covenant with me. So, whoa. Well, he didn't break a covenant. If anything, you did, but not the Lord. Joshua outlines the way to holiness in four things in Joshua chapter 23. In four ways, how we should walk in holiness. And we need to walk in holiness when we're in spiritual warfare. And Joshua was in not just spiritual warfare, but physical warfare. Remember, it's hard to separate the two, if you can at all. God is usually working in both. Chapter 23, verse 6, he says, therefore be very, well, number one, courageous, or firmly committed to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Wow. Unless you go among the nations, those who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them, but you shall not serve them nor bow down to them. Be courageous, be committed to separate yourself from the world, from the things that are in this world. Now, I'll let you in a secret. I asked the Lord, what does that mean? So I don't live among the Arab nations. Some do, but I don't. In fact, where I grew up was mostly Protestant, and so I couldn't say that. But there were things going on which were definitely worldly. And I'm going to make a confession to you that most of those things I learned were in college, in high school, when they started giving you the Book of the Month Club. Remember the Book of the Month Club, anybody? You know, you had to pay for it, and you got your lunch money together, and you paid so much for a Book of the Month Club. And the books they recommended to you were, you know, like Catcher in the Rye and other things which had a philosophy behind them that was different than the biblical philosophy, to be sure. And I can remember going to my English teacher in high school. And I said, this is like, you know, kindergarten stuff. What do you got that has more meat in it? Something that I can grab a hold of. And he gave me a book. I think it was called Giovanni's Room. And it was all about homosexuality. Right off. Sophomore in high school. I thought, whoa, that's definitely not me. Why would he recommend that book to me, do you think? Because it's a part of the work and the schemes of the enemy. Now, their mindset is they want to expand your mind to be able to accept and, if nothing else, understand what the world is where the world's coming from. But some of these books were like unbelievable. Every paragraph had a swear word. And you said, well, like, I remember reading J.D. Salinger's book, Franny and Zoe. Don't read it, because it's mostly swearing. And the themes behind them were not biblical themes of caring, loving, kindness of God, if God was mentioned at all. It was a swear word. So Joshua is reminded that there's some evil going to be going on, because you're living in the midst of these armies and our nations. You know, what are the real sin that they didn't do is they didn't get rid of them all. And so that they were still there. Now, that's, you could say almost in a Christian college, maybe that wouldn't happen. But I can tell you, my sister-in-law went to a Christian college in Carolinas, and that's the same kind of mindset was there, to expand their mind, to understand and know these kinds of philosophies. What is Zen, for example? What is it, the Shintoist and the Buddha? What are all these religions? And, you know, in India, most of the people when I went to college were in love with four guys. You remember who they were? Yeah, the Beatles. And, like, whatever they did, that was what we had to do. That just seemed, like, so logical. Well, as I was having a conversation with my grandson this weekend, I said, well, what's logical isn't necessarily true. And he said something, great wisdom. He said, well, that's true, Granddad. I said, whoa, how does he know that? His father and his mother have been teaching him, obviously. But there's a real problem in that they went, do you remember what they did? They say, start singing songs about love is all you need. I want to hold your hand. Doesn't that sound innocent? Do you remember the first time you held a girl's hand? I do. I remember that girl pretty well. So all I did is hold her hand. But the chemistry was there. I thought, wow, these guys got it. They have innocence. And the first thing they did is accept each Eastern religions. And everybody, soon Nehru jackets were common. And you could dress up in Indian clothes and everything else. So you could be more like the Eastern religions than the Western religions. And before we knew it, we had rejected everything that we had been taught in Sunday school. No questions asked. We were taught that there were holy men in India that were truly holy men, could even speak in Sanskrit. Wow, wouldn't that be cool? Know your name in Sanskrit. That was the original language, after all, you know, that kind of thing. So you fell in love with this idea of free love and free thought, no discipline, free love and free thought. And wow, it wasn't long before I had to be rescued, no other word for it. I wasn't retrained or reprogrammed. I had to be rescued by the Lord Jesus. Is that right? Well, if you knew me, you would say, yeah, amen, you definitely need it. My wife, if she were here today, she would say yes, amen. The second one is, he says, not to serve them, to bow down to them. In other words, disassociate. And that's what he says. Do not associate with evil. But you shall cling fast to the Lord your God. So that means that there's a different process going on. You aren't going to be so easily taken away by four young men who are going to play the guitar well. But you're going to cling to the Lord. There's going to be something in you that will not be able to be torn away from him, because it's going to be a relationship that you have with God, as you have done this day. For the Lord has driven them out from before you, great and strong nations. But as for you, none of you will be able to stand against you on this day. Look at this. This is how powerful you are. And he reminds us. He said, well, how are we going to do that in the face of all the pressures? I've heard people say, well, young people today are facing different pressures. No, they're facing the same ones. The same ones. The schemes of the enemy are not different. They're the same. But this is the kind of power, he says, that we have. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed, caution to yourself, that you will love the Lord your God. So the first one is to be courageous and firm and committed. Second one is do not to be associated with evil. Third one, very close to this, is to cling to the Lord. And finally, to love the Lord your God. So it's not enough to be committed to him. It's not enough to cling to him or disassociate from evil. But that fourth one is the key to the previous three. If you're not in love with the Lord, there's something seriously wrong with your faith. You need to be in love with the Lord. See, if your children say to you that they're bored by being in church, maybe they should be going to a church that they know they should be loving the Lord. That's the important thing that we need to teach them as parents, as grandparents, and even friends, to love the Lord. That seems obvious, but the love of the Lord can be interpreted in different ways. Because as much as I wanted to follow an Indian holy man or even find one, I never fell in love with one, and nor could I. But somehow God had put in me, thankfully, and I have to really thank the Lord for this. It wasn't me, it was God. He put in me something that could not be broken, and that's his love. Not my love for him, but his love for me. Aren't you glad of that? Yeah, I think you are. So what do? We keep those four things, we're safe. Oh, there's more, as you should suspect. And this is what the final thing Joshua says. And I had problems with this particular verse in Joshua 24. And we'll start at verse 14. Excuse me. When Joshua says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Remember that scripture? We'll quote that again. But it's almost like, no, I don't really agree with that. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. But he's like making a distance between you and him. My family is not separate from yours somehow. That every person in the body of Christ is together in a communion of saints, seeking the Lord together as a communion of saints, seeking the Lord's answer in the circumstances we find ourselves in, and worshiping the Lord together, and so much more. That it isn't just, you know, me and my house, we're good. Well, that was okay in Egypt. Me and my house, I'll put the blood on the lintel and the doorpost, and the plagues will pass me by. Oh, well for you if you don't. No, my heart goes out for those that are struggling. And that's an important part of who we are in the body of Christ. We are not just praying for our own circumstances. We're not called just to pray for our own problems, but we're called to pray for one another. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Yeah. And it's more blessed to give than to receive, even prayer and a blessing. And in these days, I know in Facebook, oftentimes people will come to my page and they'll say something requesting prayer specifically or generally. And maybe all I can do is, I know the Lord's going to bless you in this and say that. They're getting a blessing from someone who's standing on holy ground. Not by my own righteousness, but by the righteousness of Christ. Wow, what a blessing that is. You probably have heard me talk about my recent trek in trying to understand prayer for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. How do I pray? And we know that Jesus prayed for the fishes and loaves. Said he did. So how do you pray, and what does that make that food? You realize you eat it, and it's not just food in the natural sense anymore, but it's the provision of God for you physically. So even the most natural thing, eating, can be blessed of the Lord, and should be. That's the free something on the side. Okay. Now remember what I preached about a couple of weeks ago was how in Acts chapter 2, the church, they were just sincere in what they did and had just a lightness of heart. They were there to worship the Lord and worship the Lord together, listen to the apostolic teaching. What a wonderful time to live in, right? Well, we're still living in that time. It hasn't changed. And Joshua is going to tell us now that maybe we should do that. Verse 14, "For therefore, fear the Lord," that means hold him in respect, "serve him in sincerity and truth." Oh, if we could only just do that. How are you worshiping the Lord this morning? Well, hopefully in sincerity and truth. We don't worship the Lord because we have to. We worship him because we genuinely want to and have the truth focused in our eyesight. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river in Egypt. And this is a reference that I already made in my testimony. It's how, what gods did my father serve? Well, when they bought the Playboy magazine and brought it home, that would be one. Because their Playboy philosophy is not the philosophy we find in Christian text. It was materialistic, very materialistic, before it was even sexual. It was materialistic. And it wasn't about helping others. I don't remember seeing anything like that. When I went to college, we even had assignments to read texts from Playboy magazine. We got that far. Put away the gods your father served on the other side. Put them away. Serve the Lord. There's something God's calling us to. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, how could that be? Well, today we see people calling and saying, you know, the God you serve is the God of evil because it doesn't accept all of the LGBTQ community. It seems evil to you to serve the Lord. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers serve that they were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites. The Amorites are always brought up for some reason. They must have had a strong army, do you think? There are people out there that are strong in what they believe and what they purport is the truth. But we're able and are being called to in spiritual warfare to fight against the Amorites, the spiritual Amorites in this day. I know I am. In whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Call evil or call evil evil or call righteousness righteousness. But you better choose which one you want to go and where you want to go. Is that right? I think the problem is we find many Christians and denominational, I don't know whether to call them Christians, but denominational persons, maybe even haven't had a commitment to Christ at all, but they find themselves in a place of wanting to be open to those that are on the fence. And then it goes one step further, open to those who are evil in some ways, but not always. Well, I think God wants us to repent. Is that a word that's acceptable? I think Donnie wrote a track one day. So whatever happened to repentance? Yeah, whatever happened to repentance? But I think we need to repent. I know I could thank God for protecting me in the midst of the schemes of the enemy, and I can see how foolish I was. So therefore, I repent for my evil way. Not just for the old man, but now I need to repent for the evil way which I chose. Maybe I didn't choose it directly, but it was like annealing itself to me. It was on my clothes. It was on my person. It was on the language that I spoke. It was on the jokes that I told. And it needs to be thrown away. and I need to repent of it. No more dirty jokes, no more coarse language, no more insulting people. You call somebody a fool, you're guilty before the court. Remember what Jesus preached. Oh, where did that one go? I hear a lot of Christians still using insults in that way. You know, it's hard for me to say this because I think I'm guilty as much as anyone, but it's really hard for me to insult the President of the United States, even though he may deserve it, or anyone, because I know that that same judgment comes back to me. And I know that it's God who knows their heart, and he also knows the beginning and the end of that person's life. And I want to keep the door open for God to do the work, not the church's door open for any evil, but for God to do the work. By the way, the doors are not open for evil to come in. They're open for sinners to come in who are repenting before the Lord. I'm so glad, Lord, you came to me with such tender mercy and loving kindness. Aren't you glad? Can you say that? To save me from this evil of this world, and to, more importantly, to instruct me in your holiness. See, we can't really make our own law of what Jesus wants us to do and not do, because the New Testament law is what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. We follow his leading, not the scriptural text, but what's behind the scriptural text. What is the Holy Spirit saying? Sometimes it's just too obvious. And we say, well, that's just, you know, fundamentalist, and you need to give that up. And it's not true. Some of it's really just there. We shouldn't be insulting people. Is that true? Or is it just me? Yeah. So I asked the Lord many times, Lord, I need your instruction. And the Holy Spirit that Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the teacher for that reason. Instruct me in your holiness. And when he instructs me, he's always there to comfort, because you'll find that you're guilty of things. You say, oh my goodness, I can't believe that I did that. So this is the answer. So really Joshua was calling him to say is to promise the Lord. Choose this day. You're going to choose holiness, or you're going to choose the way of evil? You're going to choose me, or you're going to choose the other gods of this world? And there are a lot of them out there. What are you going to do? And so the people answered in verse, whatever it is, 16. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us out of our fathers, brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, they were in slavery, who did those great signs in our sight, and he preserved us and all the way that we went, and among all the people through whom we passed, all the enemies of the Lord. And the Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, including the Amorites, remember those guys, who dwell in the land. And then they made the promise, we also will serve the Lord, for he is God. Better that they would have said that we will also serve the Lord, because we're just so in love with him, and we can understand and discern his love for us. And Joshua even says, your words are going to condemn you. See, he prophesied it. He said, you're going to desert the Lord. You are going to walk away from God. And that's these words, this promise you made is going to condemn you. Isn't that sad? But in the New Testament, there's another law at work. It's another process at work. That Holy Spirit has been poured out for each one individually to be able to discern the Spirit of the Lord and what he is doing in your life specifically, and now in spiritual warfare in the lives of others that the Lord has related you to. Maybe you don't like the person you're sitting next to. Well, don't look around. But do you remember, you hear the song about the welcome table? Brought me to a welcoming table and his banner over his meal. Remember that one? Well, do you ever think about who's going to be sitting next to you at the welcoming table? Maybe it's not going to be your favorite people. Did you think about that? Maybe it's going to be somebody you never met. Maybe it's going to be one of those evil guys that gave their heart to the Lord at the last minute. Maybe it's going to be that person. And then how are you going to react to that? How are you going to respond? Well, if you know the Lord, you know how you're going to respond. You're going to ask him for wisdom and understanding on how to pray and go forward from that place. And that is the place I believe he's bringing us to on this earth today. How do we stand with Israel? How do we stand with anybody that's requesting prayer and assistance from us? We need the mind of God. We need the mindset of God, not to condemn, but to judge righteously. Not to judge, but to judge righteously what's going on, circumstances, and then take those things, bring them in prayer, and ask God what you should be doing. And the first thing you should be doing is praying, worshiping and praying, singing unto the Lord as we do. These things are not adjuncts to your Christian faith. These are not add-ons. These are necessary components of who you are as a Christian. And as the body of Christ is being perfected to become the bride without spot or wrinkle, she is going to have these things in place. The holiness of God is not an optional behavior, but it is one that he's calling us all to. The prayer that we are now participating in, not just focused on ourselves, but to others and to other nations as well and circumstances, these are things that God is calling us to. So let me summarize this. Spiritual warfare. Summary. 1. Be committed to the Lord's purposes and will. Duh. That's a good one, right? This isn't really, seriously. I think they teach this in Luke's class at his Christian school. 2. Be committed to stand firm. That means that there's going to be a real temptation not to. Reject evil, cling to the Lord, and love your dear Lord. Love, commitment, clinging to. That's spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare isn't somehow in a vacuum. You're now immune from all the attacks of the enemy. Believe me, the enemy will attack. If you've ever heard a seminar on marriage and you're a married couple, you know that on the way home from church, the enemy is going to be hard at work to start the first argument. If you haven't had an argument, you certainly will. Because you're not outside of what the enemy wants to do. He wants the enemy's purposes and will in your life before God's. His desire is to destroy anything that God is doing. Even Fountain of Life, he'd love to destroy this place. And our commitment together as children of God. And 3, and I don't think... I'm not pretending that I know the comprehensive understanding of the spiritual warfare that God's calling us to, but I'm saying that these are three principles that I know. The third one is to purpose to be his servants. Purpose to be his servants, his slaves, by his grace. And how? By his tender mercy and loving kindness. To be servants by his grace and tender mercy. And remember what I said a couple of weeks ago about the disciples of God? There was really only one requirement that the Lord asked of them. Leave your nets and follow me. Be followers of the Lord. And somehow we forget that. So I know enough now. I don't need his instruction. What? Is that right, elders? Do we stop saying that sometimes? No, I don't think so. We almost always pray in elders' meeting that we would understand his voice, his mouth. And as he breathes, we should feel his breath on our face. That it wouldn't just be cold, problem-solving time together, but it would be a wonderful experience we have with each other. As it is, One of the things God's restoring us on Friday nights is that wonderful feeling of being together in worship as we fall on our face before God. Amen? Okay, who's with me on this? Let's stand up. Thank you, Lord. We're going to pray. How many are suffering from physical ailments? Raise your hand. Quite a few. How about spiritual circumstances? Yeah. We need to see with the eyes of our Lord. Remember that he took that one lamb and put that lamb on his shoulders, and on the way back to the flock, the lamb now saw with a whole different perspective. It was a time, maybe a time only, but a time when nothing was required of that lamb. No choices to be made. No good or wrong. But he just had to be there on the Savior's shoulders. The Good Shepherd. Well, the Good Shepherd's here this morning. And he wants you to just spend some time with him. And he's going to open your eyes to see, you're going to see what he sees from his shoulders. Because as a lamb, you've been seeing things from the ground level too often. Father, I ask you to forgive us for that, or that we haven't even asked because we were so blind, we didn't even know we were blind. How can we know we're blind when we have never seen? But as you open our eyes, Lord, to see the circumstances in front of us, the spiritual component, what the enemy is doing, is desirous to kill and destroy, maim, disfigure, all the things that people do in warfare that he's about to do. Well, we come against his schemes. Amen? We come against him in Jesus' name. We don't come against him in our own strength. We come against him in your holiness that you have planted on this earth. Lord, your presence in our life. We are not here on our own accord. We have not come here because we're loyal. We've come here because we're sick. We need a physician in our life. Some are physically sick, and we just pray for your healing and strength in our bodies. Some of us are fighting off things where we have no idea how to go forward. But you do, Lord. You know how to go forward. Clear the way. Clear the path. We will find that the sins of our fathers were more sinful than we ever realized. They were more filthy than we ever realized. And we throw them down on the ground, trample upon them, Lord, in your righteousness, not in our own. We ask you, Lord, to deliver us as a people, that we would accept totally and completely your will in our life. And I don't even know how that would be possible. But there are miracles yet to be seen in our midst and upon the earth, more importantly. Whether the miracles begin in Albany, or whether they're in Congress, or in this whichever governmental structures there are in the Mideast, Lord God, your holiness can prevail. And we don't even know how that would happen, but you do. And we do not give up on world peace because we know you are the Prince of Peace. And we do not choose sides, but we choose you. And whatever side you, and that's a good question, what side are you on? We choose you, period. We ask you, Lord God, to give us wisdom with all the knowledge that you're going to impart to us, to give us wisdom with that knowledge, to be able to say words that would encourage, to say words and prayers and blessings that would bless the earth, and the ground at our feet will be blessed. Not because of us, but because of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's walk according to the word of God.